be the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that ass again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, let's do this. Come on, Friday. Let's ride. We are heading into playoff football. We are heading into a three-day for many. We are heading in to a really key time for the Golden State Warriors as well. And yes, Jordan Poole will play basketball here in the city in 27 hours. So glad you're with us. 888-957-9570. We can throw that out there right away. Charles Davis is going to join us in 15 minutes with Fox NFL. He's absolutely one of our favorite people and a phenomenal NFL analyst. So can't wait to talk to him about not just the playoffs, but what it means for the 49ers and Brock Purdy and all those opinions. We're going to talk to Charles about that in 15 minutes. But we can kind of set the table, but then let people know. It'll almost be like Passover. We'll set the table, but then we're going to have some reading material for a couple hours.
Dude.
Before we eat. Did I just hit you a little bit?
I'm new to the faith, but this year at Passover,
yeah,
we were all trying to figure out like how much of the Passover reading do we do? Because if you want to do the full Passover, you're going to need to like settle in now, because that Passover...
Settle in.
Yeah. Like the Hanukkah prayer is about 28 seconds and then you light a candle. And it's like, cool. In and out. That Passover, now that thing can go on and on, kid.
Maniscalco does an unbelievable, maybe his most famous bit is over Passover, because he married a Jewish woman. He's Italian. And he's like the whole thing about, he's like, you know, Italians and Jews, like... Different department, same company.
Right.
And then he goes through this whole thing about, like, I'm Italian. When I sit down at a dinner table, I need bread within 6 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, I go to this Passover dinner. I sit down. They start handing out books.
Oh, no doubt.
And he's looking at everyone going, we're losing the audience.
Totally.
Here. What are we doing?
And then the cracker goes around and you get a sip of wine and like the courses are all met by like a 7 minute like read.
Ooh.
And you know, I was at a family function where some of the younger readers, it's like, can we just like skip a couple of lines here? Because we are slowly going through.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway,
it's
but,
so funny.
Yeah.
But
so
yeah.
This will be like Passover.
Absolutely. So we're going to talk about the football and the Niners and everything heading in here in just about 10 minutes. And then we're going to circle back and get to some Warrior stuff that we really want to talk about. But real quick, over the next 10 minutes, if you want to answer that question, 888-957-9570 right now. Do you wish Jordan Poole was still on this team? How would you answer it?
I would answer it no, but I do look at this team and think about a guy who can get you 20 on the regular. And yes, it's a 20 that might be 5 of 17 one night, and it might be 11 of 23. His points definitely come with a certain amount of gravity, because he needs the ball, he has the ball, and he doesn't often share the ball. And when he does share it, it's usually to the other team. So I do understand everything that comes with Jordan Poole, but I do also believe that a lot of fans out there look at this team and think, if you only had Jordan Poole as a number two bucket getter, because he will get you 20.
Yep.
He'll get you 16
yeah,
to 34.
He
can score.
Pool party.
And so, yes, I do think that the conversation, for me anyway, is much more of a straight line. Forget like all of the other machinations about like, well, Kuminga would be gone. And I do think you're right, because if you had Poole at this number and you've got Draymond and Steph and Wiggins, that right there next year would be about $140 million.
Well, and I don't know that you would have been able to do what they did this year and get under the apron. Right. I don't know that they would have been able to do that.
Well, you would have been able to do it, but you wouldn't have Melton or Slo-Mo or Buddy Hield.
Even
I don't
that,
think.
Yeah, even that. I don't know that that adds up to 32, right. even on its own.
I think it's more of a clean question just in terms of, like, would you like Jordan Poole to still be on this team?
Yeah,
Stephen, Draymond, and Jordan Poole and Wiggins as your core four.
I hear you, but here's what, like, I'll ask you, is it fair that I think that what I hear is unfair? Is it fair to say this? I hear a lot of that the last 4 weeks. Could have had Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole would fit on this team. Here's my problem. The last 4 weeks are the first time I've heard that. Where was that opinion over the last year and a half?
It's a little bit last year when Clay was going through what he was going through.
Yeah, but not. I didn't hear it much.
Well, and last year Jordan was awful.
Right, right.
Awful. And this year he's been good?
He's better. Yes. He's definitely better.
Yeah.
I still don't know exactly. I don't know how to quantify things with individual players when the team's won 8 games and it's late January.
Well, I mentioned it yesterday. He's, I think, 103rd among qualified players in field goal percentage.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, he's shooting the ball better.
Better than last year.
I haven't watched a ton of Washington Wizards games to tell you if his decision-making has gotten any better or what have you. Still not an incredibly efficient player. My point is I think the opinion of a lot of Warrior fans is a little circumstantial. Suddenly we're like, wait a minute, down the stretch of basketball games, the Warriors are having a hard time scoring. Now I'm going to adjust my opinion and say that they should have kept Jordan Poole. Well, no, I'm sorry. Personally, I don't feel like you get to do that. You needed to have that opinion all along. You can't show up 2 years later and say that's what I thought. Well, I didn't hear anybody say that. And if you've thought that the whole time, then great. You're in the minority and you get to think that. But I also I think those who are really being analytical about the Warriors' problems realize that it's not as simple as they need another scorer. It's not that simple. The Warriors don't need another guard. That's it. Now, my opinion, the Warriors don't need another guard. I like Melton was a good player. Terrible what happened to him. Dennis Schroeder is a good player. I think he's still getting used to a new style of offense. It's starting to look better to me. I think it's going to look even better a month from now than it does in this moment. I think everybody who I've talked to who's close to this team and really understands the way the Warriors operate all sort of feels the same way. Bob Fitzgerald said it to us yesterday. They need somebody who, A, can help Draymond Green not have to defend all of the centers on the defensive end of the floor. And on the offensive end of the floor, they need somebody who will space it better so that the middle is not so clogged up. And I'm describing the same person on both ends of the floor, even though he's not a great defender.
He's a bad defender.
He's a bad defender, but he is a big body. And he can at least do some work in that spot. And it's Nikola Vucevic. And even if it's not Nikola Vucevic, pick someone else. But it needs to be a big. The Warriors need a floor spacing big. We can have this conversation in three ways. We can make it about Jordan, we can make it about a star, or we can make it about the actual characteristics I think that would help the Warriors right now, which is a floor spacing five.
Yes, and I agree with you offensively. Defensively, though, Vucevic is not going to help you. And I know you read the Ramona Shelburne piece today on ESPN about Jimmy Butler and Miami, and I thought that it was a fascinating look. And, you know, Ramona had a lot of sourced quotes from people who didn't want to be named, and a lot of the takeaways that I had were, you think it's bad now? You just wait until Jimmy goes into full defiance mode. And so the whole idea about Jimmy Butler for me, for the Warriors, or for any team really, is so toxic because, you know, Jimmy is a guy who is really good at blowing things up. And he's blowing it up in Miami. And what's to say that he won't go to his new team and also blow it up? So I do think you're right about, you know, what the Warriors actually need. But I'm just struck by Jordan Poole coming back and the amount of people who I'm hearing are saying, if we only had Jordan Poole, our offensive problems wouldn't be here.
Dan Dibley has a narrative for all 8 remaining playoff teams. We also want to discuss where Brock Purdy fits on the list of the quarterbacks still playing. There's a lot to get to with Charles Davis as we head into divisional weekend and more. The great caster for NFL on Fox joins us in a moment. We're sponsored by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Safe travel in the new year starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change, your 15-minute drive-through oil change for all vehicle types. Friendly technicians will check fluids, wipers, lights, and more. No need to get out of your vehicle. Locations, coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. This is Willard and Dips.
On 95.7 The Game.
Streaming live on Twitch and YouTube. Come say hi to us. We're not as scary as you think. Twitch.tv/95.7 The Game. YouTube.com/95.7 The Game. It is all powered by First NorCal Credit Union. He's one of our favorites. We want to get right to this. The divisional weekend is here. There's a lot to get to. NFL on Fox. Charles Davis is with us here on Willard and Dibs on the River Islands guest line. Hey, Charles, how you been, man?
I've been great, and just so we get it so none of us get sued, it's NFL on CBS.
And, oh, my gosh. You know what? I swear I think I did this to you last time you came
on.
Yeah,
you did.
Oh, my gosh. It's just like, I mean, we've been doing it for too long.
Yeah, we need to get that. We need to get that purged.
My bad.
Yeah, we should probably start the whole darn thing over.
Yeah, 3, 2. Charles Davis, NFL on CBS, joining us here on 95.7.
Hey. We'll clean that up in the post-production,
Yeah, we
Charles,
sure will.
Yeah.
Charles, anyway, it's always great to have you, and I wanted to start with this. We wanted to get into all these teams, but how surprised are you that the 49ers are not playing this weekend?
I think all of us are surprised by the roster, what we expected out of them, all those things. But then when you go through a season like any NFL season and you can point to pick your year, there's always that team that you're just like, how are they not in the playoffs? And then you look back and go, well, this injury happened here. This thing happened here. That happened over here. It's an imperfect world, as we well know. And the 49ers caught a lot of imperfections along the way. Some, you know, for us on the outside, surprising losses at times, you know, Arizona kicking the field goal to beat them, among other things early. Different things like that kicked in, but this is what happens every year, because what is the number? A minimum of 4 teams every year take the place of playoff teams the year before, and there's always a surprise or two in there.
And I think that's actually right. 10 of the 14 from last year are in it again, and you know, one of the teams that is still in it is the team that ostensibly knocked them out, the LA Rams. What do you make of the Rams? They beat the Niners twice, including 12-6 and that weird one at Levi's, and yet they won their first playoff game on a neutral. What do you think about the Rams and their chances of keeping this thing going?
I think they're better than maybe what people are giving them credit for. I like the way that they got it together and finished their season. It's a strange one, because playing Philadelphia, both Philadelphia and the Rams had early open weeks. The Eagles had the earliest one possible, week 5. The Rams just followed suit in week 6. And both of them, after the open weeks, caught fire. Because the Eagles, from open week on, only lost once, that Washington game when Jalen Hurts got hurt in the first quarter. And I think the Rams won 9 of their last 11. One of them being week 18 when they dressed it, everyone, and the other one being when they got blasted by the Eagles in week 12. So it's been a very interesting year for both of them. But when I focus on the Rams, 2 straight years, abysmal starts, 2 straight years, terrific finishes, 2 straight years getting in the playoffs when you have no reason, no business getting in based on your early record. What Sean McVay does there is pretty darn good. Pretty darn remarkable in a lot of ways. And it's hard to believe at times when you look back and reflect. Guys, you remember 3 seasons ago, Sean McVay was going through all that angst about whether he was going to keep coaching. Should I be in? Should I be out? Remember, he went through back-to-back off seasons of, you know, almost going to that huge pit of self-reflection. What do I do? Do I take the $20 million from TV? What do I do? And now he's all in. You can tell. He's all in. He's locked in. He's happy coaching. Things are working well, and it's working real well for his franchise.
Charles Davis with us, Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Charles, I think we all understand both sides of this, but I wonder how you unpack it. They're the Chiefs. They have home field. But I also feel like most of us don't really think that's the best team. So how do you sort of look at their chances?
I'm not surprised by that. We've seen this happen throughout this season. I mean, they're 15-2. And I think when you spew that at people, they're like, what? They're 15-2. Yeah, because it just didn't feel like
right.
it. But they are that franchise now that's very comfortable with close games, very comfortable with games in the balance, very comfortable with having to make plays down the stretch. Their core guys may be, you know, some of them showing a little age at times because Kelce gets open, but he doesn't run away from you the way he used to, does he? Like when he catches the ball now, it's not an automatic, here comes an additional 5, 6, 7 yards. You know, I think he ended up the season less than 9 yards a catch. You know, so it was very strange, but he still finds a way to get open, and does he find that magic in the playoffs again? Mahomes is certainly going to trust him. They're getting healthier at the right time. I think the thing that's still throwing me is it sounds like Joe Tooney's going to kick from guard to tackle to play in the playoffs. They trust him the most at left tackle. And I understand it, but I also remember when the Eagles lost Jason Peters before the Super Bowl, their playoffs before the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Yep.
And there was talk about moving Lane Johnson from right to left, but if you did that, then you have to replace Lane Johnson at right. So they put Halapulavate Vaitai at left tackle, let him absorb some stuff down the stretch, work through the playoffs, and they made one move on the offensive line, and they found a way to win a Super Bowl. This is where Kansas City's making two moves. Tooney's going to go from left guard to left tackle, and now your backup, Mike Caliendo's coming in at left guard, rather than leave Tooney at guard and make one move with a DJ Humphries who they picked up late or someone else. Now, having watched Wanya Morris play for the season, you're not going to let him play left tackle in the playoffs. You just can't. I mean, it just did not work for them. Humphries, they hope, would work, but remember, he got hurt the first game he played, and I'm not sure he's totally healthy yet. So to me, that bears watching because Houston's defensive front is pretty darn good, and that's Danielle Hunter, and that's Will Anderson, who'll be coming over that spot throughout the game. Let's see how that one plays out and how it goes. But to fully answer your question, until you knock them out, Kansas City's like, I don't care how you come at us. This game's tight. We're going to find a way. And you guys are going to have to prove that you can flat out beat us. Buffalo, you do it during the regular season, but you don't do it in the playoffs. Baltimore, you just haven't done it. Let's see if either one of you can get us if we get past Houston.
Fascinating to see, especially as we get now into year four of the one bye only era. And the teams that have had the bye are 4-2. And 2 years ago, they both lost. So as you look at the rest versus rust angle with the Chiefs and the Lions, where do you weigh in on, you know, which one might be more of a big factor for these two teams?
I think it's more of a factor for Kansas City because it's not just the open week. Hold on a second. Hey, really?
German Shepherd?
We have a long history on this show of when the dog introduces itself, we need to hear a little bit more about the dog.
But here's the kicker. Yeah. That was just one. That was just Nolan introducing himself.
Yeah.
Georgia and Trouble both decided to stay quiet. Nolan, you know, he works on his own schedule. Anyway.
Love it. Yeah. Love it.
Bottom line, back to the open week for me is bigger for Kansas City. Let me tell you why. They finished that season with that 3-11. Remember, 3 games in 11 days, and that was grueling and the whole deal. But then week 18, they were locked into number one, so they didn't play anyone. So that week was an open week out of their main guys. Then you get the open week this week, and now you go play. Add up the number of days, because remember, their last game that they played was that Wednesday, which I believe was Christmas Day.
Yep.
So they've got all that time off, which looks wonderful, but you start to wonder about the rust, right? Do you come out of it a little sluggish? Do these things happen for you? That's going to be interesting to watch. And I'm reminded of years ago when Pat Riley was coaching the Lakers. I think they blasted through their playoff series, you know, put everybody out, you know, 3 games, 4 games, whatever. And then they had like 10 days before the finals, and he took them out in the desert somewhere. And they actually scrimmaged like 3 times. because he did not want them going into game one a little sluggish, because you know what it's like. Those games, like the other team comes off of a seven-game series, they're oiled up and ready to play. And who wins that game one? The team who appears to be tired.
Yep.
He doesn't want that. Let's see what happens with Kansas City. I think it's a bigger factor to me for KC than I believe it is for Detroit.
Charles Davis, CBS, with us, Willard and Dibs. Okay, Charles, I'll just ask it this way. You do whatever you want with it. Lamar or Josh?
And what's the premise of the whole thing? Who wins?
I mean, it can be.
Or who has the most pressure? Because the question I've been getting is who has the most pressure.
Right, but I don't know, man. It's a playoff game. They've all got pressure. I wonder, like, who do you think? Who do you think has a better shot in this game? And also, who do you think has a better chance to then do something with it after they win?
Yeah, it's a fantastic question. It really is. First time I've been asked it this way. The pressure angle, to me, there's more on Lamar Jackson. Two-time MVP. I think he's about to be a three-time MVP, but hasn't gotten to the NFC to the Super Bowl yet. Yep. Kind of paralleling Peyton Manning early years. Won a bunch of games, get through it, but never quite got there. Then finally got over the hump. I feel like it's going to happen for him. Is it this year? We'll soon find out. But having the 1-2 punch with him and Derrick Henry in the backfield is a big, big addition for him. Josh Allen, on the flip side, he went into the season having lost, quote-unquote, the biggest weapon was Stephon Diggs. The team does not appear to have the same roster. There's a lot of, hey, the Jets could be it with Aaron, and here comes Miami. And they did it again because Josh, I feel like he emulated Mahomes the last 2 years. I'm going to put this team on my back, and you guys come along with me. And he's in the perfect sweet spot in his career. Veteran enough to have the savvy to do it, still young enough to have the legs to do it. And he did it. He did it in a big way. I think there's way more pressure on Lamar Jackson to get it done than there is on Josh Allen. I still think Josh Allen is still, oh, wow, that team, well, they actually did better than we expected. That's not what they're going to say about Baltimore. Not at all. Who has the ability to do more? I think both of them do. Because here's the deal. Baltimore finally broke through the Pittsburgh issue. Remember, Pittsburgh had beaten them 8 out of 9, and then they beat them in the second game of the regular season, beat them pretty handily, and blasted them in the playoffs. So that's gone. And they've been so close with Kansas City. This year it was, what, a toenail of going for two and maybe beating them? I think they'd like their shot again. And we know Buffalo feels they know they can beat Kansas City. They've done it in the regular season. They just haven't done it in the playoffs. I think they both match up well with the ability to go on the road and play. But if you're asking me to pick one, I will pick Baltimore.
Yeah, it's going to be a really, really fun game to watch on Sunday afternoon. I'm looking at Kansas City and Buffalo, Detroit and Philadelphia, and you've been to all these buildings for sure. Which one provides the toughest environment for a road team?
Kansas City, Detroit, Buffalo.
And Philly.
And Philly. Ooh, jeez.
Yeah.
I'm going to anger three fan bases in a big way. Buffalo combines everything because you're outdoors. That Bills Mafia is for real. You know, it's a heck of a thing. And by the way, they're going to kick off. It'll be single digits when they kick the thing off.
Mm.
So for this weekend, I'm going to go with Buffalo. And it's a long-suffering fan base that's dying to get there.
Yep.
But, you know, when you flip it indoors and what Detroit has to offer and Big Dan Campbell and crew, it'll be wild. But I'm going to go with Buffalo as the toughest one out of the four left.
Charles, before we let you go, you got to help us. You're probably not going to be surprised by this. This whole city and metropolitan area is just kind of freaking out and having a daily debate over Brock Purdy, what to do, what's the right number, can we wrap our head around numbers that big? What is your view league-wide on Brock Purdy, what's about to happen, and what should happen?
Yeah, oh boy. My view on him is that I like him a lot. I'm on record as really liking him. I think that he is better than sometimes people want to give him credit for. People want to say, hey, he's got these receivers, he's got this thing, he's got that thing. I think that he has played himself into a position where he can go and have success at a place other than San Francisco. I don't think it's just, hey, Kyle has schemed him into everything. This has worked. This kid had to be around and be the better quarterback where Kyle kept turning his head and saying, this kid's been better than the other guys I've got. that means something to me, not just system-wide, okay? Kids' experience from college, all the things we're talking about. The issue you run into is, as you said, the right number, he's going to get bigger than probably the right number. It reminds me a little bit of Carson Wentz. Remember at the time, Wentz signed the deal, which was the biggest one, which was a little over 30, if I remember correctly. And there was a heavy debate on, is this really the right thing to do?
Yep.
I think that's kind of where we are. And you know what the flip side is, and Brock Purdy's people know it. Okay, tell us the alternative then, guys. What's your alternative? who are you getting? Because this is not the 2024 draft of college quarterbacks, which out of the six, there wasn't a single bust. Think about that now. People can talk about Caleb Williams all you want. That was bigger than Caleb Williams. Okay, that was mass dysfunction of an organization. And by the way, he played through it better than he probably got credit for. Jaden Daniels, we know, was incredible. Drake May really came on with New England on a really bad football team. Bo Nix went to the playoffs and had a very nice rookie year, to put it mildly. J.J. McCarthy didn't get to play because of the knee injury. And when Michael Penix got to play, he was a little bit of a revelation in Atlanta, right? So when you talk about six like that, you're like, woo, these guys coming out this year may go high, but I don't know if they were rated ahead of the guys who came out last year. It's not the same class of players. Does that mean Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward won't be stars? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I think people may be a little more cautious about their picks here, but some teams may have to go early and say, guess what? They're going to be our quarterback because this is the best that's coming out this year. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I think they're good players. I just don't know that they would have been rated as highly as last year's class, if that makes any sense.
Sure does.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. Hey, man, thank you so much. We love when you come on. Charles Davis of CBS.
Yeah.
With us here on 95.7 The Game. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, thank you guys very much. And don't forget, one day we have to go back to my hometown and go on Halloween and see if they're still giving the full-size candy bars at Mr. Thierry's house.
Oh, okay? Man.
No doubt.
Mark it down. Any year. Like, any kid knows.
Us?
Yeah, but do you know how far people will go when they find out a house has the full-size candy? Miles out of the way.
Well, I heard a rumor that when J.J. Watt was, you know, obviously I think he still got a place in Houston and all, heard that he did a great job on the Halloween candy, and they said the cops had to come because the line to try and get into his neighborhood.
Right?
Everyone was trying to find J.J.'s house and get the full-size bars.
All for something that you could walk over to the grocery store and get for like a dollar and a half.
You can't get it from J.J. Watt.
No, you can't.
That's right.
And in New Paltz, New York, you can't get it from Mr. Thierry. So, look, you gotta go. And by the way, if the three of us go, you know that we'll be immediately arrested, right? You know that.
Yeah.
I'm
nothing weird than
it.
A bunch of 50-year-olds trick-or-treating.
I'm willing to take the chance. Charles,
we'll try it one day. Let's do it.
All right, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
There he goes. Charles Davis, CBS. He's one of our favorites. He's the best. And I thought that's a pretty good answer with regard to Brock Purdy, which is A, yes, I like him. B, yes, he's probably even better than you realize. I love his opinion and I agree with it. Brock has arrived at a spot where, yes, this would work on other teams, not a product of the system. And then, oh, by the way, yes, you're going to be uncomfortable with the number.
No doubt.
Yeah.
And we threw out the David Lombardi framework, which was just his kind of ballpark of what it might be, and it turned out to be $61 million a year, average annual, and $140 fully guaranteed. And those numbers are astronomical. 61 average annual would be number one. 140 guaranteed would be number four among quarterbacks. And, you know, he's not the number four best quarterback in football. He might be number 8 or 15 or somewhere in between. Wherever he is, it doesn't matter because the market is the market. And, you know, a house today is not the same price as a house 4 years ago. That's for sure.
Amen. Yeah, I wanted to ask you this. Just for fun, we got 8 quarterbacks left playing this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many of them would you take over Brock?
Of the 8 remaining?
Yeah, let's go through them. Lamar?
Lamar, yes.
Yeah, Josh?
Yeah.
Patrick?
Yeah.
CJ?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
put that one aside.
Yeah,
okay.
I would say
he's the only one in the AFC where we're like there's a debate.
It's close, right?
Okay, let's go to the NFC. Jalen?
Not yet.
Jared Goff?
Probably, yeah.
You would, okay. Yeah. Matt Stafford?
No, not if we're talking about like 3 years.
In the moment.
Right?
No, in the moment.
In the moment? Still no.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because contractually, age, all of that.
Yeah.
And then Jalen Hurts.
Oh, I thought you said...
Oh, I thought I said Jalen. Did I say Jaden or Jalen?
I'm not sure what you said.
You were answering Jaden Daniels.
Right.
Now how about Jalen Hurts?
Jalen Hurts, I would say yes.
You would take Jalen Hurts?
I would. It's a hard one because... And
wow.
This is where this conversation for me becomes, if you want to do it in a vacuum, we can. But if you want to take... Like Jalen Hurts on Philadelphia versus Brock Purdy on the Niners, it's a different story because what they do
totally
with their run game and, you know, their two wide receivers, I do think that he works so wonderfully for them. Could he come here and do that with the Shanahan offense? I don't think he'd be as good because what they do in Philadelphia is a lot more zone read because Jalen Hurts is Jalen Hurts.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I mean, and for that reason, and I agree with that, that's why I would not take Jalen Hurts over Brock Purdy. I have some different answers than you do. I would take him, certainly, not over Lamar, not over Patrick, and not over Josh Allen, and I certainly would not take him over Jaden Daniels, and where that's heading. Even though that's only been a year, I've been convinced from the beginning that that's a star player. I think in this moment, considering the context of each, I would take Brock over the other four, though.
Over C.J. Stroud.
I would take him over Stroud.
Over Matthew Stafford.
Over Stafford.
Over Jared Goff.
Over Jared Goff.
Wow.
Yes. Actually, that's something. I love that Charles said it because that's what popped into my head. What if you put Brock Purdy on the Lions this year? What do you think that would look like? Oh, my God. I think they're phenomenal. They're phenomenal.
They'd be better than 15-2?
No, I think they would be the same, but yeah. I think they would have another dynamic. I think Brock is as accurate as Jared. He's not as experienced. He's more mobile. He's absolutely more mobile. And
I don't think he's as accurate, honestly.
I do.
I mean,
yeah,
look at what Jared did this year, and there was a time where he had as many touchdowns as he did incompletions over like an 8-week stretch.
Best offensive line in football.
Right, and also an offense that fits Jared perfectly because he's really good at play action.
Yes, I think Brock is too. They actually use the run to set up the pass. They have a better offensive line. If the Niners were doing that, like if you put Brock in front of that offensive line, oh my gosh, I think you're the highest scoring team in the league, just like they are now.
Well, and if you had like Brock Purdy with that running attack, and you know, before David Montgomery got hurt, you had two of the best seven running backs in football and one of the best offensive lines. And that's why this conversation for me always becomes tough because it all is so contextual.
Sure.
Like, who do you have as your line? Who's your coach? What's your scheme? What's your offense? And so I do think about that with Jalen Hurts. Their scheme fits him perfectly, and now you have a 2,000-yard rusher, and the Lions have a great line and a good running attack, so your play action can really work. So it all depends on your situation.
We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good, and we're sponsored by the San Francisco International Airport. Let's play with this a little bit. 888-957-9570. Run through the eight quarterbacks. Who would you take Brock over? Who would you not take Brock over? We can get into that. Dibs has got narratives for all the eight teams out there. We'll play with this a little bit. We'll get to the Warriors and Jordan Poole a little bit later on Willard and Dibs.